For Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free. He began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. Now we can read each other. I'll be reading from Luke 1:67 through 80. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel.
Well, good morning, and good morning to all of you who are online with us as well. I'm glad we can be together and share some thoughts about the birth of John and its significance. You know, just a moment here, let me do it. Supporting actors are often forgotten. We tend to remember the main actors in a movie. In the Star Wars movies, we remember the adventures of Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia. Yet it can be argued that it would all be for naught if it weren't without the character played by Alec Guinness, Obi-Wan Kenobi. His role was catalytic for Luke in teaching him to trust the Force. Well, John the Baptist has perhaps the ultimate biblical supporting role. Often, we overlook him for the lead actor, Jesus. And this is right in one sense. John even said, "He must become greater, I must become less." Yet John was important, and Luke emphasizes this by interleaving the accounts of the angel announcements, the conceptions, and the births of John and Jesus. But we do well to join the friends and neighbors of Zechariah and Elizabeth in asking, "What then is this child going to be?" First, I'd have us notice in the passage that was read for us how how all the friends and neighbors around Elizabeth and Zechariah had hearts prepared to love a special child. They had hearts prepared to love a special child. They were prepared because they knew God had shown Elizabeth great mercy. And you know, that's a lot of how love works among us, isn't it? God pours out his love, and it results in even a feast of love among his people, or at least it ought to. They were, you know, we know that Elizabeth was old, and she was beyond childbearing years when Gabriel appeared to Zechariah. It was because of Zechariah's doubts that he was silenced. Yet wonder of wonders, Elizabeth found herself pregnant. People believed that God opened wombs, and in this case, had shown Elizabeth a special mercy after years of waiting and hoping for a child, and then giving up on that hope. And now the child has been born, and the friends have gathered for his bris, or his circumcision, which to this day is a joyous occasion in the Jewish community. I had a chance to witness a bris. One of the rabbis at Ohio State, when I was working there, gave birth to a child. And I was invited to the bris as one of the campus ministers. And so it was very exciting to celebrate the birth of this boy. Now, one of the things is we don't know why the baby wasn't named until then. But the people are questioning. It wasn't necessarily a custom to wait until the circumcision to do that. But they're questioning, what's his name going to be? We haven't heard yet. And born of a priestly line, he would most likely have taken the name of his father or one of his father's fathers, one of the relatives. But instead, Elizabeth, speaking for Zechariah, says, he's going to be called John. And I can imagine the sputtering among them. It's like, no one in the family's called that. Where'd you get that from? But the name fits. John, or Yohanan in the Hebrew, means God is gracious. It was the name that Gabriel gave Zechariah to name him, but it also fits the circumstances. God has been gracious in giving Elizabeth this special child. But there's going to be more grace than that. But sadly, in this situation, as too often is the case, all the friends and family dismiss the woman, and they turn to Zechariah, who can't say anything, and say, let's see what the father says. And using a wax tablet, which he'd probably been using a lot and had told Elizabeth all this stuff, he confirms, he says, his name is John. In Zechariah's mind, the baby already has a name. And God's mercy overflows. Zechariah's tongue is loosed, and all the praise for God that has been pent up inside of him for all these months of waiting pours forth. And all the joyous love among the people becomes something more. Three words are used here: awe, talking, and wondered. Awe recognizes that they had seen God do something powerful. Anne Lamott says there's basically three prayers: help, thanks, and wow. And this is wow. Something wow has happened here. This baby was born, and now Zechariah, who's been mute for 9 months, can talk again. Wow. This is special. And they're in awe of God. But also, they're talking about it, you know, which is pretty natural. You know, how can you see things like this? And besides, did you hear what happened when Zechariah named his child? He got his voice back, and he started praising God in all sorts of crazy ways. And the whole countryside hears about this. The buzz spreads throughout the whole area. But the third word wondered is perhaps the most significant, because it suggests that at least some people there reflected further on all these events and what was going on. There must be something special about this child. If his birth was special and the giving back of his voice to Zechariah was special, there's something crazy special going on here about him. But what is it? We've seen God's hand in both Zechariah and Elizabeth. God's hand must be on this child as well. But for what? We see that God has already prepared an elderly couple in their community to receive the child with love, joy, awe, and wonder. Now, Zechariah answers the question that people have been asking of what is this child? What is it about this child? We read that Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 41, it had been Elizabeth who was filled with the Holy Spirit as she blessed Mary and Mary's child, who she calls my Lord. Now Zechariah speaks of similar things and prophesies. In verses 68 to 75, we see him speaking of how this coming of God signifies the fulfillment of promises long awaited. David had been promised that his throne would be everlasting. Yet no king of David's line had occupied that throne since 587 BC. 6 centuries had gone by without that promise being fulfilled. God had promised Abraham rescue and salvation from their enemies. Yet they were living under Roman rule and really couldn't do anything without Roman permission. They could not serve God without fear, Zechariah says. John's birth sounds the opening notes of a new song, the song of the coming king. Zechariah calls John the prophet of the Most High. Elizabeth spoke of the baby that Mary was bearing as my Lord. And now Zechariah speaks in similar terms. I wonder what it cost Zechariah to speak these words and to name his son John, a name that was foreign to his family. Zechariah had probably dreamed of this child continuing the line of the priesthood line that he was a part of. That was typical. But John had a different destiny. And Zechariah's father love meant abandoning his dreams to embrace a greater and more costly destiny for his son. His work, John's work, would be to be a herald of the king's coming. He would prepare people for a salvation that went deeper than just political salvation. It would involve the forgiveness of their sins. Indeed, what we call him typically, the Baptist or the baptizer, comes from him preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The real love story in this passage is not simply the love that John's parents and the community had for this baby who was born. That's actually a pretty natural kind of thing in a lot of ways. The real love story is that God has not stopped loving his people. And John's birth is the sign that God is continuing to love his people. And so how about for us? You know, we're reading this passage on the Sunday before Christmas, and it is so appropriate to do so. What better to prepare our hearts for the coming of our King than the story of John and his birth? That's what John's birth kind of prepares. And after that, we read in Luke about the birth of Jesus. First, it reminds us that God remembers all his promises. Advent is a time for waiting for Christ's coming, both his promised birth and his return. We live between promise fulfilled and promise awaited. The amazing story of Elizabeth Zechariah and John give us reason to believe that Jesus will come. Why else did John come? Second, the story of John's birth calls us in these days before Christmas to search our hearts for anything that would keep us from receiving Jesus, anything that we need forgiveness of sin for. It could just be our distraction with all the holiday preparations. It could be family relationships that aren't quite right and that we're struggling with. It could be something else. I don't know. But is there anything that in our hearts that keeps us from receiving with love and joy the coming of Jesus? And these are days to think about that. Third, the story of John's birth assures us, in Zechariah's words, of the tender mercy of God as we bring all of our faults and sins and shortcomings to the Lord. We can be assured of the tender mercy of God. Zechariah knew that. In his loosed lips and opened mouth, he testifies to that mercy, that God had not left him on the ash heap. And God doesn't want to do that with any of us. He wants us all to come and enjoy his mercy, and that's why Jesus came. Finally, the story of John bids us to watch in faith for the coming of Jesus. I think many of us wonder sometimes, is Jesus ever going to come back? You know, will he ever return? Zechariah tells us he's the one who will shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death. He will guide us in the path of peace. And we know that Jesus has already done this in the lives of many people. But we also still see darkness and death and a lack of peace in the world. How we long, or I hope we do, for the coming of Jesus in these dark times. Darkness still seems to encroach in many places. As we saw this week, death even stalks our children and our teachers. And conflict and violence and fighting seems everywhere. And we cry out, how long? How long, O Lord? And the birth of John reminds us to prepare our hearts for the fulfillment of God's promise and to never lose heart or give up on the love of God and how he will love on his people and in the return of his Son. Our Advent of waiting is nearly over. Christmas is coming. Amen?